This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the National Sewing Circle. To get a premium year-long membership for $3, go to thesewcircle.com/sewing. Your discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's thesewcircle.com/sewing.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
I'm ZD Donahue.
And I just think we maybe should have redone the theme song for this podcast and been like, stabilize, stabilize. Oh, all right. So sweet. Always makes me
I was trying
better.
To harmonize and not match you, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you guys.
Don't talk about my singing.
Mom is not a super great pitch matcher, but she produced three people who are actually, I'd say above average singers, okay?
Yeah.
It's not like we're all like opera singers or something
like
that.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're all sopranos.
Well, I
know how many, how many sopranos it takes to change a light bulb, right?
One.
Yes.
She holds it and the world revolves around her.
Correctly.
I'm definitely a soprano in personality, but I am whatever the person makes me sing. Like, I had a contentious relationship with my choir teacher in high school, and he made me sing alto when he was...
When he needed altos.
...displeased with me. And, well, sure, he needed altos. Surprise, I was, like, one of the loudest people in choir. Okay? Surprise. So... That just happened in Sweeney Todd. They're like, you're going to sing tenor here. You're going to sing first soprano here. And I'm like, okay.
When Hillary was in high school, I was happened to be at her choir class time, you know, once talking with the choir director about costumes or something. And he was having them sing and we were kind of off, you know, to the side. And they finished what they were doing and he goes, okay. Everyone needs to sing louder except Hillary and Chris.
Yeah, I remember us recording something in junior high, and my teacher's like, let's have you stand over here by the door as far away from the microphone as we can get you. And it's not that – it's really actually not like a great thing. Like, if you're a really well-trained singer, you should be able to sing all notes quietly and loudly, right?
Yes.
Like, that also takes – like, singing quietly – takes a lot of breath support too, which, you know, that lady emailed me after she saw me on Fonz and Porter and said I needed vocal
coaching.
She
told you had breath problems.
Who would want to listen to you?
And that's exactly what you were on there for too.
Okay, so, and I was corrupting Sarah.
Hey, she got married.
I know. Congratulations,
yes,
Sarah.
Yes, congratulations, Sarah.
Yes, congratulations.
I think I saw it coming.
Well, yeah, she was...
Yeah.
Okay, let's not.
I saw it coming. I knew she was in love.
Sarah's love life on the podcast.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I knew you were in love.
Congratulations. Okay. We are talking about stabilizers. And this is going to be the first part of a series. I tried to do this. The pandemic has made things crazy. And I tried to do a series about this in the self-sewn wardrobe. But we're just going to have to do this in the podcast, which is just fine. We're doing a series on stabilizers. And if you bought the Sew Here Refresh box, whatever you like to call it, you got a Sulky stabilizer sampler. And it's a big pack of a bunch of stabilizers. And I think that this is really good for people to get. And I thought it was good for the refresh box because people could get a little acquainted and see if, okay, I want to start stocking this in my sewing room.
Well, what has happened, like in every aspect of our life, is technology has brought forth even more products.
Oh, gosh.
So if you thought you knew all about stabilizers or had used all of the stabilizers in the world, no, there's more.
Well, that's very true. So stabilizers, I guess maybe we should start off with just a little bit of an intro, but stabilizers are different from interfacing, right?
Very different.
We've covered this before a bit. Most of the time, an interfacing is like always meant to stay with the garment.
That's correct.
Forever and ever.
And make it a different, what do I want to say?
I was just going to say, like, provide structure.
Right. It makes it a different structure. It beefs up the structure somehow. Yes.
Yeah, it definitely, like, the fabric is right. Like this. And then with interfacing, right. It will support things right. Like a collar, right. A lapel.
A stabilizer may temporarily sort of beef up, you know, the fabric or whatever to enable you to add more threads to it, right?
Yeah, stabilizers, they're not really all about the structure of whatever you're making.
Right.
Okay, so also we mentioned garments with interfacing. Okay, right. Bags can get right. Interfaced, okay? Right. You know, things like that. And batting can sometimes be used a wool interfacing and like pad stitching and things like that. Those right. Are all things that add to the structure. But these stabilizers were developed and are mainly used for machine embroidery.
Well, any stitches, really,
but,
if you think about it.
Yeah,
yes.
But, you know, kind of originally like that, but we use them for mm-hmm. all types of stitching. Mm-hmm. And they're usually, yes, meant to add body to the fabric to support it during the process.
So they're supportive to the stitches.
They're supportive. I love that.
Yes.
They support stitches instead of structure.
That's right.
Did you, all that alliteration.
Oh, my. How did I figure that out?
I love that.
Yeah, I
laid
in bed all night trying to think that
instead of supporting the form. So, but they're marketed mainly for machine embroidery.
Well, and this is where we've also seen their development just increase.
Yeah, but I think that it's something garment sewers need to avail themselves of. It's knowledge we really need to have. They can be helpful.
The simplest thing to say is think about your buttonhole.
There you go. Oh.
Right?
We have changed some lives that buttonhole podcast.
Yes.
And those the buttonhole podcast has detailed show notes. And I actually had a friend, like an acquaintance who, you know, people think I sew for other people, which I generally don't. And she was
trying not to anyway.
Will you just please do some buttonholes for me? Can you be hired to do buttonholes? And I was like, absolutely not. You know, it does not sound like something I want to do. No.
Well, and if you think about buttonholes, they're very much embroidered.
Well, so anyway, I just said, hey, look at this podcast episode. And she goes, oh, my God. You made it so that I could make successful buttonholes.
Right.
And what Zeta is saying is we incorporate embroidery stabilizer into that process, which is, you know, generally thought of as a garment sewing process, mm-hmm. and it changes people's lives.
But if you even think about hand buttonholes, mm-hmm. they're hand embroidery. They're hand decorative stitches. And you can use stabilizer there also.
Absolutely. Okay, so we are going to the stabilizer pack that we're referencing, I'll put a link in the show notes. Is divided up into four parts. The first is cutaway stabilizers, then we have tearaway, then we have washaway, and then we have heataway. So depending on how in-depth we get, you know, this could be like a couple of episodes, but let's just start off talking about cutaway stabilizers, okay? So cutaway, these are the stabilizers.
This is like the first thing that ever happened. It'll probably be the first thing you're introduced to when you're taught to machine embroidery.
Oh, I would have thought tearaways would have been.
I got it backwards.
Is that what?
I thought
we
were talking about tearaway. Okay, let's talk about cutaway. They weren't the first thing.
But. Yeah, go ahead.
They're really important.
Oh, and also, I think they're the closest relative to garment interfacing products
right.
That you would buy.
I agree.
Okay.
Because they have to beef up the fabric for mm-hmm. you, or they keep it beefed or whatever. So cutaway is cutaway because part of it will stay with the embroidery.
Yeah,
yes.
So this is another, I just think it's really
good. It's not
good.
Just tear away or heat away because you're trying to keep part of it with the embroidery.
This is another good educational phrase I feel like I've come up with. stabilizers are named by how they are adhered to the fabric and how they come away from the fabric.
So how they go on and how they come off.
These are categorized by how they come off. These different categories when you talk about cutaway, tearaway, washaway, heataway. So these cutaways Are much more like the interfacing products. Like if you
because
think about,
they're permanent.
Yes, if you think about Pellon interfacing or something like that. If you've bought that in the past, you've bought something that's really similar to these cutaways.
And we used to have customers that had come in and bought Pellon type non-woven interfacing, thinking or trying to use it as a cutaway stabilizer. And guess what, guys? Doesn't work as well.
Well, especially because it's way too heavy.
Sometimes it's too soft.
Oh, okay.
It's not supportive enough.
Okay, well, let's just go through what's in here. Okay, so first of all, we have Cutaway Plus. Can you find your, we have two of these open, and I was like, let's have these.
And they're certainly, yeah, here they all are, but none of them are going to be in order or anything.
Well,
right?
Mine, I think somehow they were in order at
this
some
one
point. Okay. Well, maybe I was giving Sulky a little too much credit. Actually,
but I can tell you which
here
ones
we
are.
Go. Yeah. 275. I think this is it.
Oh, they have a number on them. Yeah,
they're
now,
all
this
labeled.
Is the one you're going to mistake for a Pellon or non-woven interfacing.
It looks like a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can see the fibers.
You can. And they're not woven.
No. You can really see that it looks like felt.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're felted together.
Sort of a thin piece of felt. Actually, I have an artist friend who started doing colored pencil on Pellon.
Yeah.
It's kind of fuzzy, pretty looking. It was interesting to me. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. That's what I can use it for because we don't like to use interfacing products in garments, really.
I use interfacing products to take nail polish off.
There you go. So this is a stiffer one, and it is just called Cutaway Plus.
Right.
So it doesn't have any helper to it to get it adhered to your fabric.
So it doesn't have any glue on it.
No glue that is activated by anything else. It's just cutaway. Now, it's kind of stiff. So here's the deal. Cutaway stabilizers are what are recommended for stretchy fabrics. You must, on a stretchy fabric, use a cutaway.
And that means your stretch denim pants, everybody.
Yeah.
I know you don't think of them as stretch, but they are.
Yes. So when you are doing machine embroidery, after you embroider it, the garment, it cannot be allowed to stretch afterwards.
It won't stretch in that place.
Yeah, because you have done a bunch of stitching. So if you stitch your house on there or your text or whatever, and then you go and be allowed to stretch, you'd pop your stitches.
Right.
So it stabilizes during the stitching process, but then also after. Okay. And one second. I didn't turn the Wi-Fi off, everyone. Okay. So that's just normal everyday cutaway. If you're looking at that from your Sew Here box, then,
So where you might see this or identify it after it's used in industry is if you have a polo shirt and someone's done a business logo on it and you turn it over and you look at it, you should see some stabilizer product left that's sort of cut around that logo, okay? Not particularly real close up to it, but, close enough that it's not distorting
that's
the
right.
rest of the fabric around it. Now, if you see a shirt like this, and the logo looks kind of wacko, and it looks like it had just tasted a lemon and was all pursed up, you may turn over that garment and look inside, and there's nothing on the back of it. Or there's a little bit of something that's, gone away, or you can see little parts of. Somebody used the wrong stabilizer or none at all.
That's right. So cutaways will be used on the back of the knits. However, so this cutaway, I call it classic cutaway. Maybe one of the first cutaways
to come out. It's like the first one I knew about.
Okay.
I mean, when I started embroidering, machine embroidery, there was cutaway and tearaway.
Right.
That was it.
Then we get to, you have in your stabilizer sampler pack, you have soft and sheer, okay? And you also have fuse and stitch. Okay, this is soft and sheer. When we get to soft and sheer, this stuff is like a light and airy version of the cutaway. And if you, and then there's a fusible version too.
Well, there's a cutaway plus that's not as light.
Okay. Well, that's what we were just talking about. That's this. We were just talking about cutaway plus.
Okay.
like the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is Cutaway Plus. Okay. Okay, so now we're talking soft and sheer, and that's these two right here. And these, if you're looking in your stabilizer sampler pack, they look a little bit shiny. They, I think,
you can read through them.
Yes, they are translucent. Yeah, I can see, like,
even though there's one black, one is black in color or dark, dark, dark gray, you can see through it.
And then, we just, I don't know if the microphones are gonna pick up the cat vomiting right now, but that's what just happened. So, we have this soft and sheer, and this is the stuff if you watch our video on how to embroider a onesie or a t-shirt, this is. You know, a cutaway that will support stitching, but then also be very soft afterwards. Okay. So, you know, we didn't talk about color.
Well, so what happens? Mm-hmm. Right. We didn't talk
about color. Yeah, just talk about
that. Go ahead. So the lighter stabilizers were developed because knits also got lighter.
That's right.
Okay. Fabric changed. So stabilizers had to change. Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, I think a lot in the beginning, not everybody had an embroidery machine.
Right.
Okay, so the stuff getting embroidered was not, like, as wide-ranging because people didn't have the access. So not only did the materials change, like the knits.
And money drives because the market wasn't there. Right. So why would a company make 42 kinds of stabilizers when there weren't that many embroidery machines
out
there?
That's right, that's right. So here we're encountering in our journey our first fusible stabilizer. Okay, so let's talk about that.
And isn't that you'll feel?
Yeah, touch
the
it. Yeah.
Grit. Is it grit? What is it?
Grit, I think, is a good texture.
Yeah, what it has is it has little dots of glue is basically what it
has. Yes, so itty-bitty dots of glue have been applied to it. And these are heat-activated glue. That's why we call it fusible. Mm-hmm. There's water-activated glue. There's also, they call it pressure-sensitive, which is a nice way to say sticky.
Yeah.
Like a sticker. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so this fusible cutaway, I love fusing things if I can. In embroidery land, I say, fuse if you can, hoop if you can, mm-hmm. are the two things. Now, right. Sometimes we can't do these things, right? Like some fabrics won't tolerate heat.
Or hooping.
Right. And some projects don't tolerate hooping. But when you fuse, if you're gonna embroider that polo shirt, right? If you fuse that stabilizer where you're about to stitch, well, then it doesn't move as you go to prep the fabric, as you go to embroider it. You know, I just embroidered a little shirt for Jerome, a little t-shirt, and I fused it on, and I didn't hoop it because it was so small, and we'll talk about that later on. But it was just so nice when you can have it fused. So, you know, I just buy fusible stuff.
Yeah, just about anymore, almost everything we have is fusible. But then we also have a can of spray adhesive, so we can make our non-fusibles fusible.
Yeah, so if it's fusible and I go to do something that can't handle heat, okay, fine, I'll still use it. I just won't fuse it.
Right.
Oh, I'll use it. I just won't fuse it. Okay, so I wouldn't, when I would sell someone stabilizers in the shop, I'd be like, okay, well, here's the non-fusible and here's the fusible one.
Right.
The fusible one is $3 more.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, there was a difference in cost, and people wanted you to have the non-fusible available.
Yeah, and we had to order those rolls three at a time, right? So I would always be putting in an order, okay, give me 6 of the fusible, but only 3 of the non-fusible. And I'm okay if I run out of the non-fusible.
That's right.
If someone comes in here desperate, I don't feel morally reprehensible for just saying, hey, buy the fusible for 3 cents extra a yard, you know, or something like that. So if you are going to order and you have limited space, limited budget, think about just, boom, getting those fusibles, okay? It'll save you some time. Let's take a little break and come back and talk about the 3 other cutaways that are listed here.
Mallory. You know what I always say?
What do you always say?
You can never have too much sewing knowledge.
I agree. And that's why we'd like to introduce you to the folks at National Sewing Circle. If you're having stitch quality issues or experiencing thread breakage or difficulties getting the tension set on your machine, the National Sewing Circle can help.
If you've been wanting to learn how to work with slinky knits, faux fur, heavy vinyl, any other specialty type fabric, but aren't sure what needles, thread, or machine settings to use,
then National Sewing Circle is a fabulous online resource for sewing instruction, projects, fun ideas, and inspiration that you should take advantage of. Their goal is simple: to help you become a better sewer. And they have an amazing offer. Sign up for National Sewing Circle premium membership with this exclusive Sewing Out Loud offer to get a full year of their premium membership for only $3.
That's 95% off normal price. Visit thesewcircle.com/sewing to take advantage of this great offer. The discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
Join a community of passionate sewers who are committed to expressing their creativity and learning to create beautiful projects. Go to thesewcircle.com/sewing to get access to hundreds of full-length instructional videos led by expert instructors. thesewcircle.com/sewing. Thanks, National Sewing Circle!
Sewing Out Loud. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. All right. So this next one is
fuse and stitch.
Mm-hmm. So it's a medium weight cutaway that's fusible. And actually, it's a little harder on this one. Okay, no, it's not. It's very evident which side is gluey.
Yeah, it is. The shiny side. A lot of times the shiny side is the glue side.
So we have videos on our YouTube channel of how to embroider on crushed velvet. Mm-hmm. And I use the fuse, the one we just talked about. Okay, the sheer fusible. But as I was preparing to do that video, I stuck the iron down on the fusible side. So that's why we also have a video about how to clean your iron.
That's right. And this particular one,
the fuse and stitch.
Yes, the fuse and stitch, the one characteristic it seems to have is it works well with a winged needle.
Yeah, that's interesting that they put it on there like that. Now, where I could see using this is on like the flap of a bag, like a tote bag or something. And this is the one place where I always wanted to cheat and I learned you really shouldn't. When you do machine embroidery, you need to always use stabilizer. Okay.
Oh, and your mother always. Didn't tell
no,
you that?
No, you told me that. Okay. But then I was going to embroider these canvas bags and I was like, yeah. It'll be fine. They're this heavy canvas.
Sometimes you think if it's really heavy and it's canvas, it's certainly going to be okay.
And like, it wasn't a super dense design. It's right. Just like one letter. Right. Okay. Like a big single.
Yeah.
Single character monogram. But no, it looked okay. And I was like, not great. Did the next one with stabilizer. It looked 1,000 times better.
So what happens is the threads can pull the weave,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if it's
no
canvas,
matter how heavy it
right.
is, yeah.
But the stabilizer won't let it pull the weave. Therefore, you get a more defined edge even on everything.
Yes, and that was it. It's not like right. it didn't look like it had just tasted a right. lemon. It just didn't look as crisp and right. nice. And you know, it wasn't for a client. It was
you lucked
for,
out.
Yeah, I wouldn't, if it was for a client, I just would have used the stabilizer. Right. But I was doing it for a friend. I was like, oh, whatever. It'll just be fine. This
they
heavy
don't know
canvas
the difference.
Bag, you know, and then it was just not as satisfactory. So I could see using this. And a cutaway
So what'd
is,
you think you did? Save 50 cents?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Got all disappointed too, just because of 50 cents, right?
The cutaway will help preserve that shape of your pattern mm-hmm. piece too.
It makes it crisp and pristine.
If you can leave the stabilizer permanently, it can be nice to use a cutaway. Sometimes you don't want to. If it's a bag where the inside is like exposed, I don't know, and you really don't want stabilizer in there or something like that, okay. But if it was a purse that I was making and I went to embroider on the flap and then,
that's another rule we can mention here, I guess, is if you know you're going to embroider on something, embroider on the fabric piece not cut out yet.
Yeah, you cut out your
pattern
after.
You can either like trace it on a piece of, you know, your fabric or whatever that you're going to use so you know approximately where you want it. But then you can cut it out later.
Yes.
And we used to actually make design fabric like that.
And
like
cut it out.
You take yards of fabric mm-hmm. and like, you know, or even use our decorative stitches on it, you know, and do yards and yards. Or we would like draw out the pattern pieces and then cut like 2 inches out from all of them, you know.
Yeah.
That we could redo, you know, recut the pattern piece.
So I'm not seeing this in here, but some stabilizer brands will give you a bit of a formula. They'll be like, this stabilizer will support 10,000 stitches within such and such area.
I have seen that too, and I think that's okay, but I don't think it's always true to fact, because a lot of times it has to do with the fabric you're on too.
Well, yeah. So what they're saying is to like put another layer under.
Right.
You know, which maybe wouldn't hurt. There are.
You can rarely over-stabilize, actually.
Yeah, and there are some dense embroidery designs out there. Yeah. I don't think they're as popular as they, well, I don't know. There are some brands out there still doing.
And there's some people that just like to embroider, mm-hmm. embroider. There are a lot of people that don't sew that embroider.
Yes. They really enjoy the machine embroidery aspect. Right. And there's in the hoop projects that require a lot of support because you are like constructing a bag in the hoop or whatever, you know. So you will be using that. Now, all of these so far that we have spoken about, I don't use a ton in the garment sewing realm. Do you? Like this sheer fusible, the really lightweight fusible one, I could maybe see, I wouldn't use it on my knit buttonholes because interface with a woven.
Right. So you're saying in garment sewing, you don't use those stabilizers.
I don't use them a ton unless I'm like, you know, embroidering or something.
I don't think I do either. I'm trying to think though. I used to use like, you know, the knitted one.
Well, so we're going to get to that. Okay. Yeah, so that's why I said
that's
so
the one
far.
I'm thinking I used.
Yes, so this next one is, okay, so lots of brands have a version of this. Sulky calls it Tender Touch. Mm-hmm. And it really, this is the first way that I encountered this product. But then you and everyone else who'd been sewing for a long time, you were like, oh, this feels like Fusy Knit. And it's a fusible knit stabilizer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I encountered it first as a cover-up for...
For a topping?
A cover for the back of the embroidery.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I see what you're saying. You just fused it on to cover the stitches.
Right. Okay.
Which, I mean, we could mention that here, that like some kids or even adults or, you know, my husband one time had... It was a shirt from a race that was embroidered, and it was too close to his nipple, like, and the back of the stitches bothered him. And I said, I know how to take care of that. And all I did was fuse this particular type of stabilizer to the back of the garment, and then those stitches were enclosed.
Right. So if you have ever used a fusible hem tape for knits, this feels a little like that. It's a little heavier weight, and it's big. Okay, it's not been cut into strips, you know. I did use this to cover up the back of the embroidery on Jerome's shirt. It says, I heart trains.
Right.
It's really big across his chest. Big for a 3-year-old, you know.
So it's 8 inches across.
I think it's like 5, you know. So he's got this big embroidery across his chest, and I knew it would rub him, you know, rub his skin. So this is fused there. I do see people using this sometimes to stabilize the edge of a knit seam, you know, sometimes people will use it to stabilize the edge of like a knit neckline.
A placket on a zipper or something like that.
Yes.
The edge of a pocket.
Right. Now, you and I generally just would go for like stabilizing with cotton organdy or power shaper net or some other more stable knit.
Right.
But I could see how this would be used.
Yeah.
In those situations. So the Tender Touch is like a fusible knit. It doesn't allow your fabric to really like stretch afterwards.
Right. And this is what, you know, you're really going to use on those fine little delicate things like baby clothes.
Yes.
You know, this might be the only stabilizer you're going to use. And I would always suggest that if you do go on like infant's clothes or baby clothes, you don't want your embroidery to be heavy.
No,
you don't want a lot of concentrated stitches.
It does
not feel good. If you're going to put a lot of concentrated baby stitches on something, do it on a blanket.
You don't want to make it like a
Kevlar. Yeah, don't do it on the garment.
Onesie,
right.
You know, that Tender Touch, though, is nice for a cover-up. That's how I first encountered it. But then some embroidery expert at Baby Lock Tech, and I can't remember who, mentioned it for use on like lightweight satins.
Patty, maybe?
I don't think so. No. It was like some merchant, like a vendor, not a person who worked for Baby Lock. And they were embroidering lightweight satin, which always poses a problem.
Yeah.
You know, satin's so easy to snag.
It snags.
Really. So they fused this on before embroidery and used it more like a traditional embroidery stabilizer to actually support the stitches. So this fusible knit helped the satin support those embroidery stitches.
It just held the threads down is what
it did.
Held the threads down.
In
place.
And then didn't affect the drape too much afterwards.
Right.
You know, you can still trim clothes.
See, I could see using a strip of that like where you were putting in a zipper maybe or something in that type of fabric because, you know, that is where you're manipulating the fabric a lot.
Right. And it's not like when you fuse interfacing to a collar and that starts to bubble away.
Right.
It gets stitched down, you know, which is nice. But since it is so drapey, it's the most fabric-like of the stabilizers that we have here. Like when I hold it up by its corner, it looks like a handkerchief. Okay. So it is drapey. It will still let those fabrics be soft and pliable.
Right.
But yeah.
Maybe I could use something like that when I make my sewing suits and put the zipper on. I do use cotton organdy, but that would work.
Oh, maybe you should test that out.
Too.
See how you like it.
That would work too.
The cotton organdy is so lightweight, it's not like it really gets in your way necessarily.
No, I've been happy with it. I just wonder what that'd be like.
And I could see using that under buttonholes.
Oh yeah.
Too,
especially in a knit.
On a knit. Yeah, exactly. I actually think that the Islander Sewing System people, they sell what's branded, you know, as their stabilizer for shirt collars, and it's like a knitted.
It's like that.
Yeah. They call it like the perfect
because
shirt stabilizer
or something. What do we call it?
I don't know. What do we call it? Tailor?
No. You know, antique garments.
Well, they're not doing heirloom. I'm talking about
shirt.
No.
Oh, okay. You're talking about a shirt. Okay.
A shirt. No.
Okay.
Not right. Martha Pullen.
Not Martha Pullen.
The Islander people. Yes.
Okay.
Now they might do heirloom too. But
I wonder. Haven't we all?
Go ahead. Exactly. And the last stabilizer in this sampler pack that is in the cutaway. See, I mean, this fusible one that we just talked about, it is in the cutaway family because you can't tear it away.
Because you can't tear it. Right.
This next one, I don't know if I'd put it in the cutaway family necessarily, but that's probably the only place that it really can live, and that is Stitch and Seal. Okay, so this, I mean, it almost once again goes outside the realm of like embroidery stabilizers, but it reseals the back.
Well, I was gonna say it's like rubberizing,
it reseals the back of waterproof fabric after machine embroidery. And I've lost
so
my little square.
So if you want to,
I think I have it, yeah.
So if you want to monogram your lunch bag, and it is, you know, a watertight kind of thing that you can put ice in or something, or cold pack or whatever, this might be what you use.
Right. So you apply it to the embroidery after stitching, and then it should, you know, maintain that waterproof what do I want to say, quality to it. And it feels like vinyl.
Yeah.
It feels like a vinyl that you might have some kind of like makeup bag out of, I feel like. I have had this. It's really thick. You know, you would not be, you could almost like sew through it and make something out of it. So you have a little bit of that. So those are the cutaways that are included in the sampler pack that you would have received in the refresh box. And if you want to order one of these sampler packs, it would be good. Let's see, what do we have on hand, like personally, in our sewing room? I would have the fusible soft and sheer.
Absolutely.
Okay, for sure. Honestly, for what we do, and I do, I don't know how you feel, I don't use a heavy cutaway right now in my life.
I'm trying to think. Just not very often. And if I think the cutaway we have isn't heavy enough, I just put another piece under. Like, I double it up.
I don't embroider duffel bags and tote bags
anymore.
I used to.
Not like we used to.
But
if I do, I double up my stabilizer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that is, I'm thinking I would keep that. Definitely the Tender Touch. So I just used Tender Touch for that t-shirt. And it can sometimes be called something different from different brands.
Right.
And, with that sheer stuff, I said fusible, right?
With the little holes in it?
The soft and sheer fusible. Yeah. I definitely would have the fusible on hand. So, like, what would I order, you know, right now? I'd get the Tender Touch. I'd get the fusible soft and sheer. And I'm just intrigued by this waterproof stitch cover-up stuff.
Yeah.
So I just want to have some of that on hand.
So you want to get some because we don't have anything like it, maybe?
That is what I would order right away. But maybe if you're doing different sewing.
So if you're embroidering a raincoat, mm-hmm. you need that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, everyone, we're going to continue the series. We're going to talk about tearaways. We're going to talk about the washaways and heataways. And you can submit your questions about embroidery, stabilizers, and whatnot in the show notes, or you can go to the group. Whatever you like. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.